Today, I am joined by two-time NBA champion, NBA TV, TNT personality, the one and only Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah, what's going on, man?
I'm good. How you doing, brother?
Good to finally catch up with you, man. You a busy man, bro.
You know, you have to stay busy, particularly during this time. You know,
yes,
we have to try to make everybody happy and pray for everyone. So we finally got some time. I know we've been trying to catch each other for a while, so I'm glad we got a chance to do it today.
Yeah, I totally understand. I understand. Got to stay busy. NBA TV is doing a great job keeping the NBA fans entertained. Y'all really are. They're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We try hard. We definitely trying hard.
So how are you handling this NBA downtime? I know it's driving me crazy. I know it's for a greater good, but not having an NBA, we was in the midst of a great NBA season, one of the best in years. We had like a handful of teams that was open for a title, not just the top-heavy Lakers or the Clippers. How are you handling this downtime?
Well, it's been an interesting time doing this downtime because we've had a lot of time to talk to people that we normally wouldn't get a chance to talk to, catch up with, and communicate with.
Right.
So, you know, rather be, you know, someone like yourself with podcasts, you know, radio, also in print. So
right.
We're just trying to continue to talk NBA basketball. There's still, a lot of great storylines that we're covering. A lot of interest and intrigue that we're still waiting to see.
Right. How do you think Adam Silver is doing handling this situation? He handled the thing with China, and now this has come up. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. What's your thoughts on his
I mean, he's been great. We couldn't have asked for a better commissioner and a better leader at this particular time. The way he came on the job,
right.
You know, with the Clippers and Donald Sterling situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Been the commissioner and David Stern passing, Kobe passing, and now we're dealing with this. I mean, he's been magnificent with every problem that he's had to handle, and he's met every challenge. And he's been thrown a lot of different curveballs, actually,
right.
He and Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the Players Association. So those two together, their leadership has, you know, been outstanding.
Yeah, you're doing a phenomenal job. When the league returns, do you see it being a downside? Because no teams have been off for a while. You know, a lot of teams have a lot of chemistry, like the Bucks. They're running away with the East. Some players may come back not in tip-top shape. Team chemistry might be off. Like, the Lakers were on a run. They just made their first playoff appearance in 6 years. The Browns on a rampage again. Do you see this affecting some teams in a bad way?
Well, it definitely will affect some teams in a bad way. I look at it and say it will definitely affect the weak-minded teams and the weak-minded individuals. But those
right.
who are committed and who are truly about winning, they'll continue
right.
to make the sacrifices to win, and
right.
they'll take advantage of this time because this is a time where the strong get stronger and the weak get weaker.
Right. You made the transition from player to coach to now a wine owner. Tell us about your company.
Well, we have 200 acres over in the old region of Champaign, which is the oldest region of Champaign. My Champaign company is called Sherlon Champaign, and we're over based. We import all Champaign from France, and right now we are the fastest growing Champaign in the United States. The official Champaign of the 450 NBA players. All our wine, all our champagnes are known for zero sugar and low sugar champagnes. We have a rosé that's out of the box. We have a Brut Special that's killer.
Right.
And we have a Blanc de Blanc and a Blanc de Noir. All those champagnes are made with three grapes. We use the Pinot Blanc grape, the Pinot Noir grape, and the Chardonnay grape. We do not use the Pinot Meunier grape, which is a fast-growing grape in France, in Champagne, that a lot of champagne makers use that grape to use it as a filler. We do not use that grape. So you're getting the finest and the purest champagne that has been imported into the United States. It's the first press of the grapes. Most champagnes are second and third press. We only give you the best of the best. So
right.
Go out and try it. It's at Sherlon.com. You can go in any store and ask for Sherlon Champagne. We are in all the Myers and Kroger stores, and you can also go on wine.com and get it.
Okay. In your opinion, what separates Sherlon from the rest of the competition?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
I said, in your opinion, what separates Sherlon from the rest of the wine industry?
What separates us are the three differentiators, what I just
okay.
gave you in terms
right.
of the grapes that we use.
Right.
And also the first press of the grapes. Most champagnes that you drink in the United States are the second and the third press.
Right.
We are the largest first press producers of champagne in the United States. So you're getting the best of the best. Most people complain of a headache when they drink second and third press champagne.
Right.
Or if you drink too much of it, you physically get ill. Our champagnes are, again, very low in sugar, low in sulfites. So therefore, that nasty headache that you get when you drink second and third press, we only give you the first press of the grapes. Consequently, you're getting the best of the best.
Okay. Now, your era, the Bad Boy Testings, I've seen a lot of highlights on YouTube and everywhere of God coming down the lane. There's Rick Mahorn, there's Bill Lambier, they're hitting the floor. How is this era different from the era? Like this era, you know, you can't really hand check, and they have testy styles. How do you compare the era to today's era?
Well, unfortunately, when they show hard fouls, they have a tendency to only show the Pistons.
Yeah, I've noticed
that.
If you
go back and you look at the Celtics and the Lakers and
right.
the 76ers during the 80s, we
yeah.
all played the same way, but somehow we got tagged with the label. But anyway, I would just say that the way we played basketball, we would be able to compete and play in any era.
Right.
We were the first guard tandem to win back-to-back titles. And when you look at the way the NBA is played now, we play with three guards, myself, Joe Dumars, and Vinnie Johnson.
Right.
We play with a three-point shooting center and Bill Lambier, who also, before Dennis Rodman came, led
right.
the league in rebounding and also three-point shooting.
Right.
And, you know, in terms of our forwards, in terms of McGuire, Sally, Robin, I think we would do well in this era. And I'll just say this, if we can win in that era,
yeah.
I'm sure we can win in this era too.
Yeah, I'm very sure. You would put fear in a lot of teams' hearts, like LeBron did Toronto for a while. I believe you would. I really believe you would. Game six of any of the NBA Finals. Take us into your mindset. We scored 25 points in one quarter, putting your team on your back. Like what went through your mind?
I just wanted to win. We had so many heartbreaks getting to that point.
Right.
And I remember when I was laying on the floor, I was just saying, no, not again. And I just didn't want to be denied. And I went back to the bench hoping that, you know, I could lace my shoes up and just try it again just to see what would happen.
Right.
And I had no idea that I would go out and play as well as I played. And not only did I play that well, it was totally unexpected from myself. But, you know, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes the basketball gods bless you and on that particular day and that particular moment, definitely I was lifted by a higher power.
Yeah, you were in the zone, totally in the zone. In your era, who was toughest to guard? Who was easy to score on? Who was hardest to score on?
The toughest person who guarded me was Maurice Cheeks. Mo Cheeks was, you know, from Chicago, and he was
right.
definitely difficult for me to score against. And in terms of me guarding anyone, the two guards that gave me the most problems were, of course, Magic Johnson being one, and
right.
Michael Ray Richardson. A lot of people don't remember him, but You know, in our era, those were the two big guards, Magic Johnson and Michael Ray Richardson, and they gave me all kinds of problems.
Do you see LeBron James passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar if he stays healthy with all-time scoring?
You know, if he stays healthy and he keeps scoring at this clip, it looks like that scoring title is in reach for him. We never thought, and I never thought in my lifetime, that I would see someone come along and challenge Kareem's scoring record and also challenge the assist record at the same time. And LeBron James, when it's all said and done, he's in every top category across the board. And no other player has really been able to do that, with the exception of maybe he and Kareem. You'll have one lane where you'll dominate in, but you won't dominate in several lanes. And LeBron James has dominated his era of basketball for the last, 17, 18 years. He's been the most talked about and has produced the most in every single category, from scoring to assists, to rebounding. I mean, it's phenomenal what he's been able to do. Just imagine if he was a great foul shooter.
Right.
The scoring record probably would be over by now.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Another player that I know you're high on is Steph Curry. Can you speak on his impact on the game that he just came over? Now we have kids that's coming to the gym, just shooting threes, trying to see Steph Curry. Can you speak on this, impact on the league?
I love Steph Curry. I love the way when the Warriors were champions.
Yeah.
The way he handled the championship banner and the way he represented. He walked and he carried himself as a champion. He inspired younger players. He inspired his generation and also the next generation. The way, not only from the way he shot the basketball, but the way that he gave of his time.
Right.
You know, I just think from a champion standpoint, when he had the trophy and he had the title, he definitely handled the championship title in a way that you respect and want champions to handle it.
Yeah, right now the Warriors are in the bottom of the standings. I'm not used to that. But they're set up for a quick rebuild. They're running for a top pick. And they had everyone coming back with Clay, Draymond coming back healthy. They got Wiggins now.
It would be a quick rebuild. It would be a quick rebuild and a shocking rebuild how good those guys will return and be.
Yeah, and it's possible they could use that pick they get to get another vet. We never know who they might try and get. So they're going to be scary again next year. Next year is going to be so crazy. We got KD coming back with Kyrie. Oh my God, it's going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to hopefully this season returning, but we'll see. Everything they're trying to work it out, so we'll see how it goes.
I think everything will work out. I'm hoping that it does, but if it doesn't, just as you said, next year is going to be off the charts.
It definitely will. It definitely going to be. Can you speak on some of your rules you have with Magic on the court? Any particular stories stick out in your mind off the top of your head?
For me, just watching Magic when I first came into the league, watching he and Larry Bird compete, and being able to, follow he and Larry around and just take notes on how the Celtics were winning, how the Lakers were winning, and be able to see their ups and downs. It was a great lesson for me. And then Magic and I being friends, being able to really have those conversations with him and then watch him go through it.
Right.
When my turn came up, I definitely was Caldwell, as a student of the game. So, my my thoughts around Magic is his knowledge was always, you know, at another level.
Right.
And his willingness to share it with Mark Aguirre and I and his friends, that was always beautiful too. So it was more about, you know, what we did off the court than what was actually taking place on the court.
Yeah.
Because the lessons that were learned and taught and studied, you know, that was like homework.
Yeah. What's your overall view of the current state of the NBA? And we have lots of threes now in transition, stretch fours, a lot of positionless players like Kevin Durant as an example, where you can just play point guard, forward, sometimes center if needed. What's the point of the league right now?
When I look at the league now, I look at it, and the great thing about the league is that we have so many great players,
right,
who can shoot the three ball and who can also, you know, handle the basketball, and as you just said, positionless basketball.
Yeah.
You know, when you go back in the day before they started defining positions,
right,
we always played positionless basketball. You know, the people who were called point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forwards,
yeah,
centers. I mean, that was a new thing in basketball, and I guess it only lasted maybe, what, 20 years in terms of that labeling, and now it's going back to the old school way of, you know, you just have people out on the floor playing.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that has changed is the coaching has changed tremendously, where coaches back in the day, they used all five areas of scoring positions. So you scored from the low post, you scored from the mid post, you scored from the mid range, and you also scored from the foul line in the three-point shot. Today, you've eliminated two scoring areas.
Right.
And you say, we only want to score a layup or a foul shot or a three-point shot. Consequently, players have become more skilled in those areas, those three areas. But whenever they're forced to play in the five areas of scoring positions, you see their limitations. And
right,
that's, you know, from those of us who had to learn to score and play in the five areas, you know that if you had to compete against someone who only scored from three areas,
right,
then you had a big advantage against them from a competitive standpoint.
Before this NBA hiatus, who was your own pick for MVP? Who was in front? Who was leading? Who was on your leaderboard?
You know, you were talking about, you know, Giannis and LeBron James. Those were the two front runners.
Okay.
And to me, it was coming down to who was going to have the best record. I think when things stopped, I think the Lakers were only one or two games behind Milwaukee, or maybe two or three behind Milwaukee, and they were catching up.
Right.
If LeBron James would and the Lakers would have caught Milwaukee and passed them,
right,
then I would have to go with LeBron James to be the MVP of the league. But
okay,
when Giannis team's leading, you know, you would still have to lean towards Giannis. But again, it was coming down, you know, down the stretch between those two, and they were fighting for home court advantage.
Right.
And also who was going to be the MVP of the league. So
right,
it was going to be a great closeout to the season had we had a chance to witness it.
Yeah, definitely. And who was your rookie of the year? Who was leading that? A lot of people had John Morant. A lot of people think that John Morant should win it. The NBA season continues because he played basically a full season. And Zion came back onto the scene with all this hype and played maybe 30 games right now, or he'll have played a total of like 35 games, I believe. And Ja basically played a full season. A lot of people think Ja should get the nod over Zion because of that. But Zion is one of a kind. I think we all can agree about that part.
Yeah, I would say right now you still have to go with Ja as the rookie of the year. However, never have we seen a player like Zion who's come on and actually is making us question if Ja is the rookie of the year, because you know if someone doesn't play half the season, there's no way they're going to win the rookie of the year. But this is how good Zion has been. He has actually made us think, talk, and pause when, you know, in the past we never would have thought about pausing the way he paused and entered him into the discussion of rookie of the year. So that's how good a player he is and he's been.
Yeah, because his debut was, like, watched. When he got hurt, people were upset, and his debut date was watched.
Yeah.
It definitely was. What's your thoughts on the NBA All-Star Weekend, this past NBA All-Star Weekend, like before we had to take this break? So this is one of the best I've seen in a while.
Well, Chicago, you know, I'm from Chicago, so Chicago has a way of bringing out the best in people.
Right.
Chicago, Detroit, those two places, they make you perform.
Yeah.
And when I look at what happened in Chicago, again, All-Star Weekend was spectacular. I thought the three-point shootout was great. I thought the rookie game was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then All-Star Sunday was off the charts in terms of the way the players competed and played. I think when the players found out, and this has been a generation of players that has not taken the All-Star game seriously. And they never competed in the All-Star game.
Right.
This is the first time that they've really competed in the All-Star game. And if you were to talk to any of them, you would find out that they had more fun competing and playing this way than they did the other way.
Right.
Competition can be fun, and competition is a good thing. And I think they found out for the first time in maybe about 15 years, that it's okay to compete because it can be fun.
Yeah. And I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. I think this coronavirus came around. It's true, a lot of people don't take, like, daily things or some people for granted because you never know when it could be gone. A lot of people miss the game. I love the game of basketball.
Yeah, it makes you miss how special things were, and how good we had it, and we are all longing for it to be back because we definitely miss it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to work it out. Isaiah, thank you so much for your time. Let me do this again when you have more time. Again, I enjoyed you so much. Thank you for joining me on the NBA panel. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You're welcome, and I'm glad we finally got a chance to connect, and I appreciate you.
All right, thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, that was Isaiah Thomas, two-time NBA MVP, legendary Detroit Bad Boys. Thank you for joining me. Catch you next time.